2 Kings chapter 4, as you're turning there, I'll remind you of a verse of Scripture, or passage of Scripture, in Luke 24. Jesus talks to two of his disciples after his crucifixion, and they're on the road to Emmaus. Remember the story? You remember how they had their eyes shut, their understanding. They did not perceive that they were walking with Jesus. And then the Lord opened their eyes, and the Word of God tells us that He began to reveal to them from Scripture how it spoke of Him. So what we look at when we think of the Word of God, all Scripture is pointing to Christ. And so we must look as we get into God's Word and see Christ in there. In the life of Elisha is who we've been looking at. He was preceded by Elijah. You remember Elijah did so many miracles, and Elisha asked for a double portion of that Spirit. God gave him a double portion of that Spirit. Many have said Elisha did twice as many miracles. God used him, doing twice as many miracles as Elijah. Now, different people record different amount of miracles that happened with their lives and in their lives, and it all depends on how you look at how God works. You remember with Elisha, later on, we'll be getting to it, after he died and he was buried, you remember they put a dead man on top of him in the grave, and the man come back to life. So some people count that as a miracle with Elisha. Well, it involved Elisha kind of indirectly or directly. I don't know how you would cipher that out. But some people say Elijah did 7 miracles. Elisha did 14 miracles. Some people say Elisha did 8 miracles. Or Elijah did 8 miracles and Elisha did 16 miracles. Some people say Elijah did 14 miracles. Elisha did 28 miracles. However you look at it, Elisha and Elijah were kind of types of Christ. They were prophets. And they are pointing to the greatest prophet. That's talked about in Deuteronomy 18. The prophet that God would send. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. So they're both kind of a figure of Christ. You remember last Wednesday night, we talked about one of Elisha's miracles. You remember the story, the pot of stew, death in the pot. I thought it was kind of humorous. God played a little trick on me the next morning. I sent Brother Wayne a text. I don't know if you got it or not, but the next morning when I went to get my coffee, there was a moth floating around in my coffee pot. Lydia, I showed her the picture, and she said, "Death in the pot" the next morning. So it was a little sermon illustration after the sermon, but died of over caffeination or heat. I don't know which one, but he had a stroke one way or the other. Needless to say, I did not participate in that pot of coffee anymore because of the death in the pot. But you remember how there was one man, one of the sons of the prophets, that thought he would add some choice veggies to the pot of stew. And he went and got his apron full of gourds and he chopped them up. Might have been squash, who knows what it was. But they were deadly poisonous. Eat enough of them, it'd kill you. And if you didn't eat enough of them to kill you, it'd make you sick. So they said death in the pot. You remember what Elisha did? He threw some flour in the pot. And the flour got rid of the poison. God used that. And it was a mighty miracle when you think about it. As we pick up from there, as you think about that, I want you to think how flour represents our Lord because of the meal offering, or the Word of God. It makes bread, and there is the bread we feed upon. Jesus Christ is the bread of life. As you think about that, the next miracle, which is kind of lumped together, deals with food also. And what we find, there's some barley loaves, which comes from the flour to make the barley loaves. Now, barley loaves, if you could understand, we're not talking about like When we think of a loaf of bread or a barley loaf, what comes to your mind? It might be a whatever kind of bread you buy, but it's, we think of a loaf about like that. That's not what they had. It's roughly about, from my understanding, about 7 inches in diameter, maybe about a half inch to an inch thick. So with that thought in mind, we're going to look at these barley loaves in a minute. This story starts out, it's only three verses of Scripture, starts out in verse 42. And it starts out with a man who comes from Baal Shalisha. Now, when you think about Baal Shalisha, this is the only time this place is mentioned in the Word of God. Shalisha is mentioned in the Word of God, but not Baal Shalisha. What happened when Jezebel came to power, she made it Baal Shalisha, and the false god. And you remember Baal is like the god of thunderstorms and the god of fertility. In other words, he's the god of fertility with men and women and the god of fertility with vegetation and the crops and everything. So here they're still in the midst of a famine. So it's kind of like God is showing who is God. And it's not Baal, because Baal cannot provide for any food. So here the Word of God says in verse 42, there came a man from Baal Shalisha and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley, full ears of corn in the husk thereof. And he said, give unto the people that they may eat. And his servitor, or his servant, said, what should I set this before 100 men? He said again, give the people that they may eat, for thus saith the Lord. They shall eat, and shall leave thereof. So he set it before them, and they did eat, and left thereof according to the word of the Lord. In other words, they ate, and they had plenty left over. Now, here is this present miracle. It's involving bread and grain. I want you to see the providence of God in these little three verses right here. The Word of God says, there came a man. Now, does anybody know the name of this man? I tell you what, let me back up just a little bit. I was going to get you to do this. Pull out your prayer sheet. Because on the top of it, I want you to write something. Here's what I want you to write. I want you to write out what needs you have. Just a few of them. Don't write them all. I want you to write just some of the needs that you have. Now, I'm going to give you just a few seconds. That means you got to think quick and write quick. Some of the needs that you have. Some of you aren't writing. Oh, I thought you didn't have any needs. Can you catch? Ooh. Everybody says, ooh. There's a wave of ooh. Now, I realize some of y'all can write until tomorrow, but we don't want to do that, okay? You heard what I said, didn't you? You can catch good. You just didn't listen good. Some of the needs that you have. Okay. Does anybody need any more time? You can just not pay attention to me and think about your needs if you need more time. Let's pick up the story again. We'll come back to your prayer request sheet in a minute. Keep them available. But I want you to notice the providence of God. The Word of God says in verse 42, there came a man from Baal Shalisha. Now, what's this man's name? Does anybody know? We didn't have Polaroid cameras back in that day and time. Nobody knows what he looks like. You know what? When we get to heaven, we probably won't recognize him. This man is anonymous. He is just a man that's coming to or from Baal Shalisha, and he's coming to Elisha. This man is a faithful believer. How do I know that? Because the Word of God says he's bringing of the first fruits of his crops. Over in the book of Exodus chapter 23, you don't need to turn there, but it talks about how all the Israelites, when they get the first portion of their crops come in, which is supposed to be the best, they're supposed to give that unto the Lord. And here is this man. He's taking his first fruits, and he's bringing them to the Lord. Now, when you do that, that shows you've got faith that God's going to provide more. The first fruits means there's more coming afterward because God's going to provide. Now, think about his giving in that situation. When you give all of your first fruit, the first part of the crop, you ain't got nothing right then. But you know what? You, by faith, are giving, knowing that you cannot outgive God. Therefore, everything you give, you know what? Whatever you give, and I don't look at how people give, but whatever you give, you'll never outgive God. Because everything you've got belongs to Him anyway. You know what the Lord loves? A cheerful, hilarious giver. One who loves to give. And that's what we ought to be in our lives. We ought to be cheerful givers. When we look at this man, whoever this man is, he's nameless, but it's kind of like, it seems like the mentality of John the Baptist. He must increase and I must decrease. In other words, it's not about him. It's about the Lord. It's about bringing glory to God. Here is this man, not seeking a spotlight. People who seek a spotlight love to be seen. You know what they love to be seen of men? That's not what this man is doing. He's not trying to say, look at me, I'm bringing my first fruits. Matter of fact, I would dare say he did not know he was going to be recorded in the Word of God for people to read down through the ages. And yet, God has used him as an example. And here he is coming with his first fruits. As he comes, I want you to think with me for a minute how God gives. Can you imagine how much food is consumed in the world in one day? Brother Roger, just the Joseph, is this quite a bit, ain't it? Can you imagine the whole world? You know what? We often live from meal to meal just about, don't we? You think about it. We eat so much and a lot of times waste so much. But you know what? We never run out of supply. Here they were running low because there's a famine in the land. Back then, God sent a drought. There came a famine. But if you think about the food supply in our day and time, it seems like it cannot be exhausted. But let me tell you, it can be. If they wipe out a couple big power grids in the United States, can you imagine what's going to happen to the food stores and everything else? You know what? It's run electronically, everything. There'd be chaos big time. So don't think it can't happen to us. But I want you to think about this little bit of a portion that this man brings. 20 barley loaves, about like that, and there's 100 men. And then there's some corn in the husk. Ain't even been cooked yet. It's fresh. Oftentimes, I want to share this with you because Brother Dana's not here. Oftentimes, Brother Dana will go out the door on Sunday morning and he'll say, "That's a nice little talk, brother." Well, it took me a few Sundays to get adapted to him. Finally, I've started coming back with him, but little is much when God is in it. I get an amen from him every time on that one. And you know what? Little is much when God is in it. If you give a little, let me tell you, God can exponentially multiply that, can't He? God can take your little and make a lot out of it. God can take little bits and multiply. Now, I want you to think with me the word Shalisha. Y'all probably never heard that word before we read it tonight, or when you read it in your Bible, you probably forgot you read it. What does Shalisha mean? Shalisha means a third or three. Now think about a third. You could also say it means multiple, or it's God that multiplies. And here is God multiplying this man's first fruits. You know what? He's going to do more than just multiply it, just from what we see here. When that man goes back to Baal Shalisha, he's given his offering. I have a good faith that God multiplied his crop too, because he's faithful in his giving. God loves a cheerful giver, and you can't outgive God. Those who honor him, he will honor. And therefore, this man's honoring God, and notice he's bringing it to the man of God. He's bringing this portion to the man of God. Why is he not going to Jerusalem? Because it's a long distance off. So he takes it to the man of God. I want you to notice how God uses the faith of one man here. The faith of one man. He's just coming along from Baal Shalisha right to where Elisha's at. God's using this man coming along for such a time as this. You see Romans 8:28 in there, don't you? God's working in this man's life while he's working in these prophets' life, while he's working in Elisha's life, and he's bringing them together for such a time as this. Here they're in a famine where they're at. When you think about it, just because your resources are exhausted, just because you think you might not have enough to make it, you got to remember God's resources are never exhausted. And that's who Elisha served. Now let me ask you, who do you serve? Do you serve the same God with inexhaustible sources? I want you to get a focus here tonight. I want you to notice the command. Now, probably the servant is Gehazi. Probably. Word of God doesn't say for sure. But that's who is Elisha's servant throughout Scripture as we read it. As we see here, the servant questions Elisha. Elisha tells him, take that of the first fruits and give it to the 100. And listen to the response of the servant. What should I set this before 100 men? In other words, this is a small portion. He's got doubt. If you don't have enough food to go around, you know what you're looking at? You're looking at your inability to provide food for everybody, aren't you? Anybody ever cook a big meal and you wonder if there's enough food to go around? You know what it's like? Panic City. If there's 2 or 3, 4, 5 more people coming, oh no, well, we're going to have to run to Kroger. Buy another chicken. Buy one of them pre-cooked ones or something. Notice the doubt here, because Gehazi knew he was not capable of passing out these 20 loaves of barley and the full ears of corn to everybody. So Elisha repeats the command. But this time when he repeats the command, he says in verse 43, for thus saith the Lord, they shall eat, that means all 100 of them, and they shall leave thereof. In other words, they're going to have leftovers. You see, when God's in it, God gives above and beyond what we're able to ask or think. Here, there is the inability expressed and the doubt expressed. So once the command comes again, Gehazi, if that's the servant, he passes it out. This simple lesson tells us to take what God supplies, whatever you've got, take it and use it, and trust Him to provide the rest. You know what? You might think you're coming up short, but you got to use what God's giving you and trust God for the rest. That's a simple rule of life that we all live day by day. And sometimes God puts us in the crunch on the edge of the precipice, about to fall into oblivion, and we're going to die because we don't have enough money to make means for the end of the month, and it's the end of our life, and we panic, don't we? Isn't that the way we do? That's the way we are. But God is teaching us to trust in Him, to lean upon Him, to have faith in Him that whatever your need is, He will provide. Here, this is a lesson of trusting God. God's power and God's provision. And boy, does God provide in a powerful way. We have the responsibility to depend upon God. That's your responsibility. If you're a believer, you're a child of God, your responsibility is to trust in the Lord rather than your own abilities. Now think with me what I just said. When you panic and when you fret, when you worry that you ain't got enough of what, blah, 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 whatever it might be, whose ability are you trusting in? Whose resources are you trusting in? We've got an inward focus, don't we? We all fall short at times in this area. But we've got to get the vision like Elisha had. We've got to see God as God. As God of our life. And God is for us. In the middle of our inability, God's strength is always perfect. God's supplies are always sufficient. Think with me. How many of y'all have ever starved to death? I don't see no skin and bones here. You know what? God is faithful. God has always been faithful. Even when we worried, you know what? Those times you worried, some of y'all, many years ago, I ain't even going to say how many, many years ago, you don't even think about it now, do you? Because you're worrying about today. Or you're worrying about tomorrow. You know, God has been faithful, 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 brought you to this point, and you're still worrying. Do you think God's going to all of a sudden become unfaithful? No. He's not finished with you yet. He's not ready to drop you off the deep end. Our responsibility is to depend upon Him rather than our own abilities or what we can do. Think of this. This man from Baal Shalisha, he has bread. Bread was a basic sustenance of life. We have the bread of life. Are you giving it to people who are hungry? There are countless numbers of people we encounter each week. And many of them don't know the bread of life. They are spiritually malnourished. God has placed you in their midst with the bread of life. Are you sharing? If we measure what we can do by our ability, you measure your life what you can do by what you can do, you're going to never do great things for the glory of God. If it's just based upon what you're going to do. And God will not get glory from your life if all you're doing is what you can do. You know what? We got to believe Him for great things. He's able to do great things. And how we should pray is that He would do great things to glorify His name. And God will do that. God's storehouses are never insufficient. You'll never hear from God insufficient funds. Not enough, sorry, come back another day. You don't know. It's measureless. I want you to look at the faith of Elisha. Elisha says, God said, feed the people, and you're going to have leftovers. Now you know what? He's proclaiming that. He's projecting that. He believes that, or he wouldn't have said that. He has faith. There's even going to be leftovers. It's a faith that glorifies God. How often in our lives our faith comes short of glorifying God. Oh, that we had the faith of Elisha. Oh, that we believed in the God that Elisha believed in. That he's able in the midst of a famine, a drought, to have a man come out of nowhere from Baal Shalisha and give him a little bit of food, and God multiplies it. Oh, that we had that kind of faith. Faith in His Word. You know what I'm scared of sometimes? I'm scared, and somebody's even asked me this one time. Unfortunately, it was by a drunk, but I didn't know he was drunk at the time. Because it was kind of through an email. He said, are you ever just going through the motions? Do you ever find yourself just going through the motions? You got to be careful with that. Just going to church because it's Sunday morning, that's what I'm supposed to do. That's not the faith of Elisha. That's not a faith that glorifies God. That's not a faith of anticipating meeting a holy and righteous God. We've got to do more than just go through the motions. In verse 44, we see how God abundantly supplies the need. So He set before them. He passed it all out. They ate and they left thereof. They had leftovers according to the word of the Lord. You got to stop looking at your inability and your lack of supplies and look to the Lord. You've got to trust the Lord. Trust in His Word. Now, what does this story, this little three-verse story that stuck back in 2 Kings, what does that remind you of? Huh? Jesus feeding the 5,000 and the 4,000. He did it a couple different occasions. You think about that. Here's Elisha, and I want you to notice the difference. Elisha prophesied that this is going to happen, but Jesus just multiplied it. He made it happen. There's a big difference there. Elisha was a type. He's pointing to Christ. Christ is the fulfillment of the great prophet. Elisha can only prophesy, but Jesus Christ, He multiplies. Elijah speaks the word. Jesus fulfills the word. It's His Word. He fulfills it. Now, I want you to get your little paper out now. And I want you to look at the needs that you wrote down. And I want to throw a couple of verses of Scripture out at you. The first one's in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. You don't need to turn there because you got it memorized. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory. Now, I'm not asking you what you wrote down for your need or needs. How many wrote something down? I just want to see how many actually wrote something down. About half of you. Man. Okay. Let me give you another verse of Scripture. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 8, as Paul is writing Timothy, he says in verse 8, and having food and raiment, or shelter. Shelter or clothing is what raiment would be. Having food to eat and covering over your head or over your body. Listen to what the Word of God says. Let us be therewith content. How many of us are content with having food and covering? Well, that's the basic needs of life. For those of you who didn't write down anything, you might have thought something and then you done forgot. You done forgot what your need was because you didn't write it down. Shame on you. Let me ask, how many wrote this down as far as needs? I'm going to list some things. Wait a minute. Growing in faith. Anybody mention that? Okay. All right. How about studying the Word of God? Praying. Obeying the Lord. All right. Loving more. Serving more. Praying for wisdom. Well, you know, all we need to do is ask. Praying for guidance. Don't you need guidance in your life from God? Need. I'm talking about need. Now, let me ask you, how many of y'all wrote things down that is a want and not a need? You don't have to answer that. I don't want to embarrass you. As you think about it, God supplied the needs in 2 Kings 4, verses 42 through 44. God consistently, through Scripture, supplies the needs of His children. That's why the psalmist would say, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You know, whatever needs you've got in life, you've got a loving Heavenly Father, and He knows exactly what you need. You think about it, how many of us are experiencing famine? Nobody. Think about it. There are people that are famishing because they have not the Word of God. Do you feel guilty? Have you ever walked beside a homeless person, maybe eating a sandwich or eating something, and there's somebody hungry and you feel guilty? We need to have more of a spiritual vision because people are spiritually impoverished. They're dying and going to hell. If you think about it, this is kind of a stark thought. The shooting out in Vegas at the concert, the shooter had murder in his heart, is burning in hell. I wonder how many people he shot are also in hell. You know what? Just because they were murdered by him don't give him a ticket to heaven. People are saved only through Christ. We lose sight of spiritual realities. This little story in three little verses, it shows us that God is willing to bless, and they're always greater than we can give. May we have big hearts full of love, willing to give. And you know what? You give cheerfully. The Word of God tells us the Lord loves you. But you know what? If you see me cheering cheerfully, oh my, what am I saying? If you see me giving cheerfully, oh, that's a tongue twister. If you see me giving cheerfully, don't question my giving. And I won't question yours. Let us give to glorify God. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we look at this, just three verses of Scripture, and there's so much depth to them, pointing even to greater miracles done by our Lord Jesus Christ. Taking just a few small barley loaves, five, in comparison to 20 here for 100 men, there was thousands that you fed. What a great God we serve. Give us insight to see you more clearly, knowing that you love us, you've given your best for us, and you're not going to withhold anything good from us. Help us to trust your loving hand. Help us as believers that our light would shine and that people would wonder what we've got because our light shines so brightly with the love of Christ. Work powerfully in the midst of your children, into the lives of others, that your glory might resound throughout all the earth for Christ's sake. Amen. I think that was Eli saying, Amen.